It is time for Message in the Bottle. Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company joining us. Well, hello, Eric.
Richard, have you ordered it yet? Have you seen it? It's the future, Rich.
The future.
And yet it's the past. It's the reverse retro jersey sweater. I want to say jersey, but of course it's a sweater. The NHL has figured out that they can't come up with anything new, much like Hollywood. And so they figured out, you know what was really great was when jerseys, uniforms actually represented the Pine Barrens and the Jersey Devil that sprang forth therefrom. However, of course, to me it always looked like a frickin' pizza box. So anyway, so they're back, baby.
Yeah.
Back.
Oh, no question.
But
no question.
What's funny, though, is that the biggest controversy to come out of this, by the way, is that the Colorado Avs are doing Nordiques jerseys in Avalanche colors, and apparently the faithful Quebecois are pissed.
Yeah, and I hear the old Whalers fans are upset, too.
Who? I'm sorry, who?
The Whalers fans are upset.
Well, all five of them.
Oh, no, those are hardcore folks. Apparently, somebody is trying to crank out some old Whale shirts through their online store, and people are like, no, that has to come from Hartford.
Well, yeah, that's fair. I firmly endorse the Whale coming back. One of the oddly happiest moments of my life happened in downtown Hartford. It involved cigars singing in a beautiful cathedral. But when I was there, it was just, there was an AHL team, but I missed out on like the heyday I don't want to call it greatness. We'll call it goodness. Connecticut. I mean, Central Connecticut. Like, they need something besides Mohegan Sun. It's tough going. Listen, I'm not here to talk hockey, sweaters, or, teams past. We have to talk wine because we've got, oh my goodness. So it's Thanksgiving next week, by the way, people.
Yes.
I just got the memo. I've been purchasing all this wonderful product in anticipation. But frankly, all of a sudden it's here. Like the weekend before Thanksgiving is nigh. That's a terrifying prospect for anybody. So I just want to reassure everybody out there in radio land that we, despite it sort of taking us by surprise, it didn't really, I'm sort of being glib, but we are ready at Bangor Wine to handle what we hope is a obviously crush of customers, but we do encourage everybody to either take advantage of curbside, our online store, which can, you know, lead to curbside or things like that. If you don't feel comfortable coming in, because I am not blind, cases of COVID are spiking again, and I recognize that a lot of our customers, being believers in science and such, may truly want to do the right thing while supporting local, and I appreciate both of those things. So please do, in point of fact, by the way, we are going to have a second phone line installed because we recognize that there are going to be people wanting to call in. So it has become increasingly apparent in the past couple of days that that is something we're going to need to do. So I wanted to chat about that before I get into the rest of the wine talk. If we have to, by the way, close our doors or anything, we will certainly put out videos and deluge social media to that effect. I will probably also tell Rich, who might actually pass that along to everybody out there in Radio Land.
Oh, yes, of course. That's what we do.
Yes. It is what you do, and marvelously. So we're finishing up South America this week because obviously I always try to sort of take a month-long aspect, but next week is my annual Thanksgiving and Thanks Pairing episode of Downtown. So that will hopefully help anybody who, though parties may be smaller this holiday season, certainly there's there's always the stresses of doing, you know, pairing the right things and buying the right things if you are indeed going to be a guest somewhere. So we will hit that next week. So we talked a little about Chile. We've talked about Argentina and how the railroad gave birth to the rise of Mendoza, and how immigrants fleeing not only the phylloxera blight in Europe, but also other issues that tended to arise civically, agriculturally, etc. in Europe. A lot of folks found their way to the New World, and not just our shores, but South American shores as well. And they brought with them, of course, that wine culture. The first wine culture, for better or worse, I do want to mention, of course, came from the conquistadors. As I said, and as we, you know, as we touch on many, many times in this program, with war and conquest comes the desire to celebrate that conquest with alcoholic beverages. So very, very rarely does conquest come without some sort of figuring out how to get their buzz on later.
as it should be.
One would think. Quickly, I want to touch on Uruguay, which is an up-and-comer in the South American wine scene, certainly. One of the clippings that Uruguay got was of the grape Tannat, T-A-N-N-A-T. Tannat, notable for one of the few red grapes that actually has red juice. Most of them, of course, have white juice that gets the color pigmentation from the skin contact upon pressing, but Tannat actually red juice. Also referred to, by the way, in the region called Arias. I'm sure I'm messing that up, but that's the best I can do. And also other interesting European varietals, Albariño, right? So Albariño you find in Rias Baixas in Spain, Trebbiano from the Italian peninsula, of course, a lot of cool blends. Tannat is really sort of the main focus, both in dry red wines and in dessert wines, some of which are absolutely fantastic. And like Malbec in Argentina, finds itself, and I truthfully don't, I do need to find the reason for this. I need to find some South American winemakers who can give me the actual terroir-specific reasons of this, but it finds itself richer, more plump, more appealing. And, of course, some of that can be product of the winemaking, but on such a grand scale, it's probably product of the terroir as well. But it finds itself a little bit more rounded and appealing as opposed to its European counterparts. It's just kind of interesting. It has similar latitude. So if you look at a wine map of South America, basically all the wine regions, much like you'd find in any other place in the northern hemisphere as well, there's only sort of a certain latitude to latitude that can grow grapes well. But it is Uruguay is a little wetter and it's cooled and dried by Antarctic winds, right? Not just high altitude like the Andes Mountains that you find on the other side of the continent. Therefore, the ripening is kind of cool and more gradual, and therefore a lot of the vineyards are clustered around the coast, much like you'd find in California, like Monterey and stuff like that. You know, it's very similar to that sort of feel. Quickly, I should mention Brazil. Brazil does, of course, make wine. There are some, beginnings of a wine industry there, but basically most of the stuff there is consumed in country. It's mostly fizzy and sweet and grown near, the centers of a population, right? So it's mostly fertile, humid, damp, like the grapes that are grown there are not grapes, They're hybrids that can kind of deal with a lot of that rot resistance. And, it's just not a country in a place that's really primed for viticulture. It's not their fault, but it's just what it is. That's the breadth and scope over a couple weeks of South America. The major players, the minor players are still minor players and likely to remain so just because of where they are. So, you know, I will use my last remaining time by telling everybody, as I have the past couple of weeks, in about an hour from now at 6 p.m., I will be appearing live on Facebook Live from the Downtown Bangor Partnership page with my friend Summer Allen from Valentine Footwear. Tonight, Destination Downtown Bangor takes us to Nocturnum with Jean Beth and then Elizabeth from Fork and Spoon, and they're going to be talking to us about what they're doing this holiday season, both to earn your business, keep your business, and deal with the ugly ramifications of the worldwide pandemic. It's a thing, it's real, but, you know, downtown is doing what we can to keep everybody happy and keep everybody safe. So I just can't drive that home enough. And also, I do want to mention that we have our next Michelle Dupree tasting, virtual tasting, coming up on the 6th of December. It's a Bordeaux tasting. We do have the gift packs, tasting packs ready to go, as well as her tasting packs from the previous tasting, which are perfect for any Thanksgiving table. So please do keep up with us, Facebook, etc. Lots going on. And lots of information that probably will be, you know, shared on a day-by-day basis these days. So thank you, everybody, for staying so engaged with the downtown, with Rich, with everybody. We all really appreciate it.
Yeah, I saw that you also got to sneak away to one of my favorite places in the state of Maine, Moose Point State Park.
Yeah, never. I had never been, but good old Ruthie Clark, you know, who is Nella's homeroom teacher, happened to mention it and said, go to the tide pools. And I knew Christine was going to be busy, you know, doing some stuff for Hudson. And so I said, you know what? Let's go. And this is why I love Maine. This is why I love Maine. You just, well, we need to go to the ocean and go to some tide pools. Done. 45 minutes, done. No muss, no fuss.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was great. It was great. I can't. You know, I do notice that a lot of folks are moving into Maine, you know, and we all know the reasons. And, you know, the reasons may be unfortunate, but it's so delightful to welcome people and say, listen, you know, now that you're here, one of us, you're really going to like it here. I sure do. You know, 10, 11 years in, I'm so happy I moved here and I'm part of this this downtown and this place. It's great. It's an honor.
Well said, my friend. Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Check him out tonight with Summer and the crew. And we'll talk with you again next Tuesday. Well, I won't. Bruce will be filling in for me next week, but I'll think of you.
Finally, a real interviewer.
There you go. It's about time. Only took,
all right, be well, gentlemen.
Only took 9 years for it to happen. Thanks, Eric.
Be well. Bye.
Eric Mahon with us here on Downtown.